This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And today we're going to talk to an individual that we've talked to in the past. And this podcast is actually very fortuitous, something that I've been looking forward to, because the other day on my weekend radio program, we had a question from somebody who was suffering from a concussion. And I recommended that they get in touch with the Brain Health Education and Research Institute and look at their concussion protocol there, which relies heavily on the use of omega-3 fatty acids. Well, today we have none other than the president and founder of the BHERI, the Brain Health Education and Research Institute. He's Dr. Michael Lewis. He's an MD, has an MPH and an MBA. He founded the Brain Health Education and Research Institute in 2011 upon retiring as a colonel after a distinguished 31 career in the U.S. Army. His pioneering work in the military and since has helped thousands of people around the world and is regularly featured in the media, including CNN's Sanjay Gupta MD show, numerous radio shows, including this one, and podcasts. And he's a graduate of the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, Tulane University School of Medicine. He's board certified and a fellow of the American Colleges of Preventive Medicine and Nutrition, and completed postgraduate training at Walter Reed Army Medical Center, Johns Hopkins University, and Walter Reed Army Institute of Research. And he's currently in private practice in Potomac, Maryland. The website is www.braincare.center. And he's a consultant to the U.S. Army and Navy, as well as several organizations, institutes, and nutrition companies around the world. We'll talk a little bit about that later. And a founding member of the Pop Warner Youth Football Medical Advisory Board, where he is looking at holistic interventions for brain health and for the prevention, management, and rehabilitation of concussions and TBI, traumatic brain injury. So, wow, that's an exhaustive introduction, but you certainly have a wonderful background, particularly in military medicine. How did you get involved in looking at this issue of traumatic brain injury?
Well, actually, it's kind of interesting. I had spent a number of years in Southeast Asia as a disease hunter, literally, you know, looking for new and interesting diseases. Was there when SARS happened and ground zero of SARS and bird flu and so on. And then they said, "All right, you got all this great experience. Come back and teach at the military medical school right across the street from NIH in Bethesda." And you can't help to be on the grounds of Walter Reed and be around wounded warriors all the time. And mm-hmm. So you start to wonder, what is it that I can do to help? And I sort of heard about something, kind of put two and two and two together and came up with an odd number and went to the head of research and said, "Is anybody looking at the use of omega-3s to help our soldiers recover from traumatic brain injury?" And the answer was no, why don't you? And that's literally how it all began. That was about 10, 11 years ago now.
And the result is this new book just out entitled When Brains Collide. And so talk to us a little bit about the scope of the problem, because it's a military problem. It also reflects the nature of war, you know, with IEDs and the types of injuries that soldiers are now getting. But also it's a problem for the general populace. How big a problem is it?
Well, in fact, there's 45 million kids play organized sports every year. And so, you know, you've got a large population that is being put at risk. And we don't know exactly how many concussions, but It's estimated between probably 3 to 4 million concussions happen every single year, mostly a good number of them from falls, whether it's young people riding bikes and skateboards and playground or older people that fall in the bathtub or slip on the ice. But certainly sports is a large percentage of those.
Indeed. And what's the plausibility of fish oil in this application? How did you arrive at the possibility that fish oil might be helpful?
Well, it, the brain is made of fat, and about 30% of that fat is what we call omega-3 fatty acids. There's omega-6s as well, and it takes omega-6s and omega-3s to make a brain in utero, and you can't have life without it. And so it's part of every cell membrane, and nowhere is it more concentrated than in the brain and the eyes. And so it was just the basic concept that if you have a brick wall and it gets damaged, you shouldn't you use bricks to repair the wall? And so I looked at that and thought, well, if the brain's made of fat and these omega-3 fats are so important, that why can't we flood or saturate the brain with omega-3s and to help the brain recover if it's going to recover? And the results have been far more outstanding than I ever imagined, but a lot of it is because of dose. We're so deficient relative to the amount of omega-6s that we have as a society that the dose needs to be much higher than what most people were talking about.
Indeed, we'll get to that because you offer a specific protocol at the BHER website, which I've referred many patients and many listeners to. Before we get to that, it appears that a lot of people hit their heads, and oftentimes it's not properly diagnosed. The symptoms can be very obvious, but they can also be rather subtle at times. So what are the hallmarks of a concussion or brain injury?
Well, you think everybody would know, and that's not always the case. But, if it happens on a soccer field or a football field, and it's obvious, that's fine. But, I've got my most recent patient literally this week has been a woman who got hit in the head at closing the trunk of her car, and the bike rack on the back hit her in the head. And it took about a month for people to figure out, her doctors to figure out that she had had a concussion. She was having issues with, and these are very common, issues with headaches, overwhelming fatigue, and the biggest one in my concern is the cognition, what we call brain fog, just like you have a bad head cold and you just can't seem to work through it and think very quickly and everything's just as slowed down.
Mm-hmm. Well, are there any specific tests that can diagnose this? Obviously, if you have a brain bleed, you can see that on an MRI, but a concussion doesn't necessarily show up on an imaging test. Are there other types of tests that maybe can shed light on whether a person is suffering from a concussion?
Well, they're working on it. I mean, it's over the last 10, 15 years, it's been really obviously a hot topic and a big push, and literally billions of dollars have been spent trying to look for diagnostics. So there's blood biomarkers that they're being evaluated. None of them are FDA approved. There's actually an eye tracking device that has been FDA approved and in 60 seconds can diagnose whether a concussion has happened or not just by basically looking at the eyes as they track a dot going around in a circle. And so there's different ways. Ultimately, it takes a physician to make a call. And it really is a call. There's not an exact test that will say, yes, there's been a concussion, no, there hasn't, when it's sort of that subtle type of thing.
Is a concussion something that, will just go away with a bed rest after a few weeks, or is it something that can persist for a long time and create long-term problems?
Well, they say, from studies that about 70 to 80% of people recover within a month. And I'm looking at it, 70% of 4 million concussions is, well, actually 30%, let's take the other side, 30% of 4 million concussions a year, that's a lot of people that aren't recovering. And so, the idea of go sit in a dark room, bed rest, and all that is starting to thankfully go away. And in fact, one of the best things that you can do for your brain after a concussion is actually aerobic exercise. Mm. Obviously, not get back into the game or put yourself at risk of hurting, getting hurt again. But the aerobic exercise to get more blood flow to the brain can certainly help that process, and people, studies have shown that people recover much faster if they're exercising rather than go sit in a dark room for a couple weeks.
Perhaps a graduated program, because one of the symptoms of concussion is fatigue, so it may be hard to go full tilt. And I guess, a program that gradually takes you up, perhaps to, first 20%, then maybe 30, 40, 50% of your capacity would be the right recipe for this.
Well, I can tell you several universities, and Stanford University comes to mind. When they have an athlete that gets injured, they put them on a treadmill or a bike the next day. And if they have a headache, they give them, Advil. And if they're a little bit dizzy, they put them on a stationary bike instead of a treadmill. But they put their athletes 20 to 30 minutes of aerobic, as much as they'll tolerate, aerobic exercise starting the day after a concussion. So the more aggressive, the quicker people seem to recover, and that's even more particularly true with athletes.
There's been some really remarkable cases with recoveries attributed to fish oil, and one that comes to mind, and you describe it in your book, When Brains Collide, is the case of Randall McCloy. Can you tell us about that?
Well, Randy McCloy was the one guy that survived a mine explosion in West Virginia in January 2006, the Sago mine incident. And there was, I forget the exact number, but 21, 22 miners that were trapped for, I think 90 hours or so, or 40, it might have been 40 hours. Methane gas and explosion and so on. And McCloy was the only one that survived, and he was literally inches away from death.
So he didn't just have head trauma, he had anoxic brain injury. He had no oxygen to the brain.
He actually didn't, as far as I know, didn't have actual head trauma. It was all methane gas poisoning, mm-hmm. carbon monoxide poisoning, which then led to a kidney and liver failure and a mass. Usually what happens is you end up dying of a heart attack. Well, he had had a massive heart attack, mm-hmm. and so therefore he wasn't getting any oxygen to his brain, and that's why I say he literally was inches away from death. Whereas the 20 other guys actually did die. And so once they went through the hyperbaric oxygen for the carbon monoxide poisoning and the dialysis for the kidney failure and so on, they were still left with a guy that didn't have a whole lot of brain function. And so they had the idea of let's saturate the brain with the omega-3s and see what happens. And the short of the story is he walked out of the hospital a couple months, 2-3 months later.
Wow. And that was actually the basis for other people looking to that example. Your parents faced with kids in terrible automobile accidents, hearing about that story when all hope was given up, they would say, look, at the very least, give my kids some fish oil, perhaps through the NG tube, because an unconscious patient can't swallow fish oil liquid or take fish oil capsules, so it's got to be done through an NG tube.
Exactly. And so that would be probably one of the biggest areas. I mean, sports concussions are important because they happen, and there's so many of them. But the severe traumatic brain injuries are the ones that really sort of tug at your heartstrings. And when parents are being told, there's no chance your child's going to survive, you should just pull the plug and the agony and okay, well, he seems to have, made it a day or two. Only time will tell that, whether the brain's going to heal. I just didn't accept that. And certainly the Randy McCloy story, pointed me in the direction like, well, why not try it? And so I've had the opportunity to advise parents and even doctors in a number of cases of severe traumatic brain injury, and not in every case, but in many cases the recovery was far more dramatic than what the doctors ever anticipated, and the only thing that was done differently was high doses of fish oil.
We hear a lot about CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which was popularized by a recent movie. And is there any prospect that fish oil, when administered preventively, can reduce the chances that the brain will get all scrambled and develop this chronic degenerative condition?
Well, there's two aspects that you bring up. Preventively, meaning before any injury occurs, and I absolutely believe that. And so the neurosurgeon that took care of Randy McCloy is a guy named Julian Bales, and he was in that movie Concussion. His character was played by Alec Baldwin.
Oh, wow.
And Julian Bales and I published a report in Military Medicine Journal that we believe that every soldier and athlete that's at risk of a head injury should be taking 3,000 milligrams of the omega-3s EPA and DHA, a total of those two long-chain omega-3s. And if take that on a daily basis, it will improve the resilience of the brain to withstand injury in the first place. And if an injury does occur, then you have the right amount of omega-3s on board to already help with the recovery. And absolutely believe that. Now, transition that to CTE. CTE, where the injuries have occurred, and often with boxing or with football or other sports, it's been a repetitive injury. And I believe, so most people think about a concussion or a head injury as just that one event. But what they don't realize, that's just the primary event. That the secondary event is all these biochemical cascades that continue to burn and churn through the brain. Basically, inflammation that becomes chronic inflammation that just doesn't get shut off. And that's where higher doses of omega-3s can have a huge impact in shutting down that inflammation, getting it back to where it should be. And I absolutely believe that given good, adequate, optimal doses of omega-3s, for example, at the end of every football season, if NFL or college or even high school players were to take a couple of weeks of higher dose omega-3s, I think we would cut down on all the CTE and some of these worse outcomes that we're seeing.
Indeed. So, were you able to sell the military on this idea? Because, you know, clearly many of the troops that are being deployed don't have the luxury of having fresh salmon as part of their rations when deployed to, you know, distant places like Afghanistan or Africa. So has the military been responsive? I mean, you were part of the military. Obviously, you're a military physician, a colonel in the, I believe, in the Army.
You know, it's been two steps forward, three steps back sometimes. Haven't given up, but, you know, the military is looking at it in a couple of different ways, but to jump in and just make it happen, which is basically what I had proposed to several general officers, including the four-star general who was the vice chief of staff of the Army a few years ago. That let's just implement a program. There's no downside. It's heart healthy. You know, it's going to help with eyesight. There's all kinds of positive things that fish oil can do. And so there was no downside, but, the research side, the medical side basically said, no, we need to do more research. We need to, we need to see if it even works. And then subsequently hasn't really developed a program to look at it in any depth.
Yeah, that's really a shame.
Sometimes politics just get in the way.
Indeed. And sort of, you know, institutional inertia is a big factor. When it comes to dealing with large, monolithic organizations. So, you know, you're up against, a lot of a lot of resistance sometimes when you want to introduce a dramatic new protocol. What about the danger of bleeding? You know, because that's a potential specter that's been raised, is that if you take too much fish oil, you could have a greater chance of bleeding. For example, some elderly people, they're already on blood thinners. Those are precisely the people who are at most risk when they fall because they might have a brain bleed. Is that a concern with fish oil?
Well, there's a number of studies that show that people that are on blood thinners, such as Coumadin, warfarin, heparin, and whatever, you know, there's a number of them out there now. Well, number one is those pharmaceuticals, they stop the enzyme processes. Your blood won't clot if you had to. I mean, it's really, so how do you make a really bad situation even worse with fish oil is beside me. I mean, I have no idea.
It's sort of like spitting into a hurricane because those drugs are so powerful, they really stop the clotting process. And so is fish oil going to make it much worse? Probably not, right?
It's not going to make it any worse. In fact, there's studies that show that when you give some blood thinners after a traumatic brain injury, the outcomes are actually better. So in the emergency setting, if you give heparin, the outcomes are actually better. So if fish oil doesn't have the ability to make the blood less clottable compared to all these pharmaceuticals, it does a tiny bit. Like if you're taking higher doses, it would have the effect of like taking a baby aspirin a day, which we have no problem telling our patients to take a baby aspirin a day to prevent a heart attack. Why does that work? It keeps the blood from clotting. So why not use something like omega-3s that not only do a similar thing, not as powerful as these pharmaceuticals, but also have the potential to help the brain heal and help you, you know, all the side effects are really positive. And bleeding is not one. In fact, I can point to a couple of different surgery programs around the country that actually require their patients to be on omega-3s prior to surgery, if at all possible, because they find that the outcomes after surgery are so much better.
Yeah, and that's what I've concluded in reviewing the literature. But, you know, it takes a long time for medicine to change. There's institutional resistance there as well to the use of fish oil. Okay, you've laid the groundwork for our discussion in part two. We divide our podcast into two parts. And in part two, I want to get specific, talk to us about some very specific protocols for fish oil, how much to take, what type, what to look for in terms of quality. Today, we're talking to the author of a great new book, When Brains Collide. He's Dr. Michael Lewis, and he is head of something called BHERI, Brain Health Education Research Institute, which is a repository of information about how to prevent and cope with concussions and brain injuries. We'll be right back with more on this subject. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.